Also, I never know what to do when you're reading these. I'm always like, I don't know.
I don't know what I do. I just look at you and smile. Do whatever you want to do, Mandy. Okay. Don't do that again.
That was a bad choice.
Good morrow, adventurers, and welcome to our podcast, Good Morrow, the show that discusses all things Dungeons & Dragons and other fantasy genres. We are your co-hosts, Katie and Mandy. And for our topic tonight, we are going from player to dungeon master, aka DM or GM, depending on your preference, and all that that entails, as well as DMing phobia and how to overcome it. So, Mandy, you have DM'd a few times for us in our party. You've done a couple of one-shots. You've also done like a three-month-long campaign. This time, you're going to do like a long-term, I guess.
We're going to go campaign from level one to probably level 15, level 17. I'm going to do like a gut check with everybody at level 12 to see if they still want to continue with their player, with those characters and stuff. But it is going to be longer term because it's only going to be about once a month after, because right, we're doing a couple back to back. So Chris can, or he can get a very well-deserved DM, not vacation, but just a little bit of a break. So he can focus on some other stuff and maybe, you know, just recover mentally from having to DM it. DMing for people that are good at the game is very different than DMing for people that are bad at the game.
Oh no.
And y'all are very good at this game.
Okay. I think it, like you said, it's very vital, very important. I'd say necessary for DMs to have a break because
absolutely,
they just, I mean, I know for him, he's probably spends a good 30 to 40 hours a week, realistically, in the evenings. Gross. Working. He's also homebrewing like everything. So
yeah, it's a different world if you're homebrewing everything. I mean, and I love the world he's homebrewed, so I'm not complaining in any way. I just, it's not something I want to do. Well, I kind of want to, but I don't want to at the same time.
I know. I'm the same way. I'm like, I really want to, but I'm terrified. My question for you is, how are you excited about doing like a longer term campaign? Like, and again, I know it's only going to be like once a month, so that is probably going to have some challenges with it, I would think.
I mean, I think the challenges I'm anticipating is, number one, keeping y'all engaged.
Okay.
Right. Like as engaged as you would be in a different campaign, or which is hard to do, right? Because right, I know the level of obsession that at least three of the four of us have. Yes. John is normal.
He's a normal human being. Yeah.
He's normal and not crazy like the rest of us. So there's a little bit of that challenge of, okay, I have to make this as engaging or as interesting. And there's some challenge with that because I'm running a module, right? So I'm running Called Another Deep simply because I am not superhuman, unlike Chris, and I just do not have the time to homebrew. Everything, all my other stuff has been homebrewed up until now.
Which you've done great with, and it's been so much fun.
Oh, thank you. I'm curious for you, what's the difficulty going between different DMs? Because I've only ever had one DM.
It is interesting to see everyone does everything differently. I don't know if I play. I don't think I play any different. I mean, maybe I do, and I don't realize it. For the different DMs, I think sometimes, if it's like a one shot, for instance, I think it has to be a little bit more linear in the sense of, you know, you have to kind of follow the storyline at least to an extent. Otherwise you're never going to finish. And then, you know, it'll be like you have a one shot and then it goes on for, what was it, three or four other one shots?
It ended up being a three shot.
Yes. Which was amazing in and of itself.
Yeah.
But
y'all did. Yeah.
But by y'all, you really mean the chaos goblin.
I don't know. There's something about Jason and Chris playing together.
Oh my God.
And now John. But it existed with Jason and Chris too, where it was just like, what are you two yutzes doing?
I know. It's exactly what it was.
But no. So, I mean, that's a challenge too when you're DMing is, straddling that line of still allowing that collaborative story while still kind of driving that main story arc.
Right.
Yeah. And to answer your question, you do play differently for me than you do, Chris.
Do I really?
Yeah.
What do I do?
You're more willing to take risks and be a little like sassy with me than you are, Chris. It's really funny to me. I noticed it this past summer and I was like,
hilarious.
You would not do this if Chris was DMing. Like that ran through my head so many. I was like, you wouldn't.
A little piece of crap. That's hilarious.
Yeah, you do. And it's really funny and it's no problem. But
oh, that's funny.
But I think also, at least for me, my perception, you can read Chris a little bit easier than you can me because like you've lived with him for 12 years. So right. It's easy for you to kind of see where he's going. And I think for me, maybe I've surprised you a couple times.
Yeah.
And it's just funny to watch you in particular play. I think the only person that doesn't play differently with me is John.
John is irritatingly good at being consistent.
How dare you?
I know, like, but
John is a wonderful player.
Yes.
He is a challenging player, and that's a good thing, right? Because everything I'm prepping for, I'm going, okay, how can John
mess this up in a good way? Not
mess this up, but also mess this up, yes. Right? We're like, yes. How can he wreck my stuff?
Yes.
For this. So, you know, it's interesting. It'll be a fun ride for sure.
It will. Are you doing anything different for this long-term campaign as a DM than you did for like your one-shots or the summer campaign that you ran?
So the summer campaign I ran was essentially kind of just kind of a thank you gift to Chris for everything he's done. So I kind of made his character a little bit more center to the story. Mm-hmm. And that was semi-intentional, but also just kind of how the story, where y'all went.
Yeah.
There was a couple decisions that you could have made that would have ended up in a completely different ending. This go around, because it's a module that I'm running, the story's already created. So I'm weaving in parts of y'all's backstories, because this is another thing that's difficult with having good players and good creative people, is y'all have made these amazing, just super interesting characters. And I can't just leave that alone.
Yeah.
So we're following the module. You're still going to do the Call of the Netherdeep adventure, but Call of the Netherdeep technically only goes to level 12. So, and I've already told you guys we're going to level 15. So there's going to be some homebrew elements here.
Okay.
Afterwards, but what I want to do is I just learned a lot the last time I DM'd. So I want to make sure that I'm allowing others to tell their story, because I think it's a very easy DM trap to fall into, is get really attached to the story that you have in your head of how this will go.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the fun part of being a DM. Like, I joke about how can John mess this up? But it's also, what kind of story am I going to get to tell with my friends? Because that's what D&D is, right? It's getting to tell that story with your friends, and y'all do such a good job at it. So I'm trying to be more cognizant of that. We're using Roll20.
We are.
I'm not stressed as much as I was before. Like, I'm trying to go into it in a much more relaxed setting. So I think those are the things I'm doing differently, is we're doing a smattering of homebrews. Running a module is a lot different than running a homebrew.
Because
running a module, the story's already there.
Yeah.
I just have to kind of like fill in the gaps.
Mm-hmm.
I have
flavor.
I had to add in some of the, just some of the pieces of y'all's story, right? Because you're playing real people. And I'm going to say people because none of you are playing humans or elves.
So funny. There are no elves.
This has never happened.
This has never happened. Quick.
Because I'm not playing.
We need to like document this.
Because Mandy's not.
Because you're not playing.
Because I would have played a drow from the Kryn Dynasty immediately. And I would have been related to Essek Thalas. You don't know who that is.
Nope.
But all the critters out there do.
Some watching to do.
His nickname is Hot Boy, and it makes sense if you watch the show.
Hot Boy. I have so many things need to watch and read. It's
sickening. Yeah, it's really disappointing to me as your friend. Anyway.
Oh gosh.
No, so that'll be also interesting, I think, as the DM is just bringing this group of people together.
Yeah.
Because, well, number one, some characters know each other mm-hmm. and aren't happy that they know each other.
cough, cough.
And some characters are also connected in some ways that y'all don't know yet. Mm-hmm. But also there's a very just basic, John is playing an owlin.
Yeah, which is
a bird person, an owl person, and you're playing cat people. You're playing a tabaxi.
Yes.
So there's that really fun cat bird thing that keeps running through my head. And I know yes. that that's probably not accurate, but I keep seeing like this Tweety bird and Sylvester the cat thing run through my head every time yes. I open up my notes to prep.
That's amazing. I'd never even thought about it.
Oh, I'm sure you haven't. And then I'm
gonna think about.
And then there's Jason, who of course picks like one of the most complicated races to play and to DM for, frankly, at least from what I can. At least that's how it feels. He's playing a changeling.
Yeah.
You know, why? Jason, he's funny in that we are both the least edgy people in the world. Like our favorite date nights are reading in bed together. And that's not even a joke. That's so real.
Cute. It's adorable. Or puzzling.
Yeah. And we both create these really like edgy characters.
Yeah, you do.
That frankly, we're not good at playing the edge part.
Let's see. How many hours do you think that you roughly spend a week prepping for this campaign?
This campaign.
Mm-hmm. You started like back in April?
Mm-hmm. There was less prep in April. That was really just like, honestly, I wanted to start DMing again because I just missed it. But also I could tell Chris needed an outlet mm-hmm. and I didn't want to give up our D&D Saturdays. So
no, I'm sorry. You can't.
Yeah. So if Chris needs a break, I am happy to jump in. So there was less in April. I've done a lot more, honestly, in the past 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And frankly, I've spent more money than I have before simply because I don't have the time to make maps right now. I just don't, you know, I don't have mm-hmm. the time to mess around with tokens in Roll 20 and getting everything all set up. I just don't have the time for that. Yeah. So to me, it was like, okay, it's worth the $50 to buy the module in Roll 20. And then I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
And it's already done. I just have to remember how to mess with Roll 20. So most of that, and it's just been reading the module because Call of the Netherdeep actually only is levels 3 through 12. So we're doing a small adventure at level 1, level 1, 2, 3 to get you guys into that one. Also because y'all's characters are so funny, I think you're going to need a little bit of extra time.
To mesh.
That, and we do have, I think everybody but Chris is playing a class that's brand new to them. And as we've talked before, it's important, or it's very helpful, to start at level 1. So all those skills can build on one another. So I've probably done, I would say like 10 to 15 hours of prep. Most of that's just reading and trying to understand everybody's classes and everybody's chosen subclasses. I'm sure I'm going to miss something. But you know what? It's not my responsibility to run your guys' characters.
It's true.
Your responsibility.
That's right.
I'll sometimes do like stupid voices that I'm planning on for NPCs.
I'm
like
so excited.
In the grocery store or something like that.
Yes.
Or I'll like practice them with my kids. They think I'm sure nuts.
Of course. I have a couple of questions for the DM phobia side.
Yeah.
So for those of you who have never DM'd, a little bit of Dracula there, blah, blah, blah. oh my gosh. Who have never DM'd, including myself, I have talked about DMing for like a year. I have said I'm creating a one shot for a year, and I have little teeny bits done on the one shot. However, I have not moved forward. Don't look at me like that, because I two reasons mainly. Number one, I'm like terrified of the individuals in our campaign, at least, who know so much about D&D in general and specifics that I'm like terrified that I'm going to be in the middle of combat and we're all doing everything. And then they're just going to interject like 500 times correcting me. And I'm just like terrified of that, because like, I hate it when people interject and then just like correct. Cause then I just feel like I have no idea what I'm doing. And yeah. So how do you deal with, we'll call them D&D know-it-alls?
I mean, not rudely, you can just say it's Chris. It's fine. It's Chris. Say it. Chris is not a D&D know-it-all.
No, he's not. No.
I'm trying to think of a way to say this. No, I'm just going to say it. Just assert your dominance in that state. Like, I had a very frank conversation with, I think it was you at one point when I was DMing last summer, where you asked Chris a question and I was like,
yes,
he's not the DM. I am.
I do remember that.
That's and right. That kind of set the tone. Like, yeah. This is you're leading this story. And you know what? The rules, they're pretend. It's like anything, Kate. You just gotta like own it with confidence and just be like, you know what? Yeah, I don't know. Or I messed that up, so we're gonna retcon it.
That's true.
I am a much better DM now than I was last summer. And I was a better DM last summer than I was when I did my Secrets in Neverwinter campaign. It's all about growth. So I think how to deal with D&D know-it-alls is you just have to, that D&D know-it-all in specific is really just there to support you. Right. Yeah. So I think if you go at it as, don't be afraid to ask for help.
Yeah.
And all of us are your friends here.
How do you handle chaos goblins? So we talked a little bit about that earlier. So like, for instance, the one during the summer was, I don't know how you did it. It was great. You did phenomenal, but it was literally just me and the three guys. So John, every time I'm always like John, Jason,
Jacob, Jingleheimer-Smith, James, my name too.
And then Chris, but they like went postal.
They went ape.
We're just like, we're going to murder everything and we're going to freaking flay them. And I was like, oh my gosh, my character is like traumatized, but I am traumatized. So I was like,
yeah, yeah.
So how do you like rein it in?
Well, I don't think I reined it in, but I think
like anybody could have at that point.
You know, I think it's embracing it. Just being like, you know what? Like, you did improv, right? Like you've done improv games, right? It's not just yes, it's yes and.
Yes.
Right? So go with it. If they're leaning into the chaos, you contribute to it. Like there were a couple times where y'all were just acting up and I was like, okay, cool. If we're having that night, I have this random encounter that I was going to have you roll for, but now it's just going to happen.
I do feel like there were a couple moments where I was like, I am seeing this happen on Mandy's face and this terrifies me.
And it wasn't necessarily a punishment. It was just more like, okay, if this is where we want to go tonight, if we want more combat, if we want, like, there was one night in particular that I literally just made an entire, like, it was basically a dungeon crawl through a ghost city.
I was going to say that's
and
what it
was. I made that specifically to freak Chris out, because I know he doesn't do ghosts.
Yes.
Or creepy things. And I was like, there we go. We're going to do that.
All the things were there. So, yep, you nailed it on the head.
So I think you have to lean into it. Don't be afraid of it. I mean, of course, if there comes to times where you're like, okay, this is getting a little out of hand, you can always pull people back. I think that's the time where you go into a little bit of a narrative. Try to have like some type of plot along the way. I mean, I probably waxed a little bit too much in my storytelling in that one. but I think there is some room for that as a DM where you're trying, there's a balance to strike between, I think there's moments, especially as a player, where you want to hear the story. Like there are times mm-hmm. where I'm just yes. like, Chris, like, I think I waxed too, like I did too much exposition there. And I'm like, I don't care. I wanted all no. of it. Please yes. keep talking.
Yes. I feel the same.
And then there's other times where you get to do all this exposition and then you ask, so what do you do?
Yeah.
And that's like, oh. so fun as a DM because every one of your characters always, no matter what, even when we played twin sisters, there was warring mm-hmm. motivations and it was just fun to see who would win and why and mm-hmm. where. And especially as the DM, I know everybody's motivations and what they're working on and what they're wanting to do. So it's interest and like the personalities that they're trying to pull. So it's really interesting to do that. So don't be afraid of it. Like okay. it's okay to have chaos goblins. And sometimes the chaos goblins try to do stuff and you feel bad because it doesn't work out. Right. Cause like it doesn't roll well. Like Jason tried to do something that I thought was going to be hilarious. And then he rolled too low. I was like, well,
no,
that sucks. Here we are.
Better luck next time.
I'm so sorry.
Well, that wraps things up. Whether you're on your way to work, cleaning around the house, kicking back and hanging out, or mindlessly scrolling on your phone, we're grateful you've joined us. Please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or any other favorite podcast app. We enjoy spending time with you so that you can be immersed in fantasy and hear our interesting spin on D&D and how you can have that in your D&D game as well. Well met, friends, and we will see you on the morrow.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Blah, blah, blah.